do wild in the streets.
The President of the United States.
President before he's 25. Following a campaign that broke every rule in the book, people went wild. Wild in the streets. He lived like a young monarch. And listened to the voice of the young.
We suggest that the required age for a representative be 14.
Malcolm X, John Lennon? Come on in and dig your mother.
Ah, Mom, I can't now. I gotta go do my homework. I mean, I gotta meet my connection.
You can't fool me. You're in one of those underground study cells, aren't you?
No!
It'll kill your father. I didn't breastfeed you for 14 years for this. Come here, baby.
But, Mom, I'm not hungry.
Straight, Nick. Do yourself a favor. Be groovy. Now sit down, turn on, and tune in the TV.
But, Mom, I don't want to watch television.
Oh, you're so weird.
I'm in! I'm in!
Now, direct from the Paisley House on Capitol Hill, man, we take you to the gathering of the tribes, which is already in session.
She'll hand you a stick of sandalwood, a little smile, and then she disappears back into a crowd of happy people looking like they never came from here.
Strange thing, gathering the tribes.
A laughing at a gentle, just a joke. A friend, a motorcycle angel comes to sit and talk a while and share a smile.
Strangely gathering of tribes. Strange thing, gathering of tribes.
Butterfly on her face goes a dancing light, caught up in the sound of talking drums, lost herself out in the wheel of sky.
Strange thing, gathering of tribes. Strange thing, gathering of tribes.
Now let me shock it to you, baby. It's clear from these underground films shot in your bedroom by the Free Food and Drug Administration that you've been doling out unauthorized bread and water to a chick who lost her free food card.
But Senator Baby, like she was starving.
Young man, that's her trip. Take him away for grooving.
The fastest rise in interim governmental administration in the Western Hemisphere, the Cabinet of the United States of Beat. From Rochester, New York, on lead guitar, the Secretary of Peace. On drums, the Secretary of Inner Self. On saxophone, the Secretary of State of Consciousness. And here he is, ladies and gentlemen, the Expector, the Most High Chief of the United States of Being, Starp Van Coolen.
Yes, we do. On this birthday, the founder of our tribe, Sodom Clinton Powell, the first to take our sacred oath. If elected, I refuse.
the Young People's Soviet Sociable Republic, it's a guest to sign this jazzy document. We too want peace of Nigeria.
Yesterday, a full million of us in the Hippie Republic of China met in my room to debate this question. We flew each in, out the window. We are now unanimous.
How sweet it is!
The big move from New York was prompted by Brandon. He was tired of the TV jobs he was getting. His interest had turned to performing music, and his pal, Graham Parsons, who gigged with the Birds, would often drop by Brandon's apartment to smoke a bowl or two of hash and make music.
The second half hour of Dear Friends is brought to you by the Cabin Restaurant in Kathmandu, Nepal. Yes, the Cabin Restaurant. Chinese, Tibetan, Nepalese, and Western food available. Also, cabin-exclusive hashish cakes, hashish cigarettes, or hashish available at the counter. Also, latest pre-recorded tapes flown in monthly. Remember, that's the Cabin Restaurant, 11897 Asantol, Kathmandu, near the Grand Wool Center. Ask for Rama and tell him we sent you.
That's right, that's me, Rama. Come on up, take a look at Mount Everest and get stoned, babies.
Brandon and I loved to go out to see Graham playing in his international submarine band and had some tremendous adventures. Brandon wanted to give his film career a boost, so we both decided to drive out to California together. We stayed near the Hollywood Bowl and below the famous Japanese restaurant Yamashiro in an apartment on Lash Lane. There I met Diana Dew, who would later provide me one of the few non-theatrical jobs in my life back in Greenwich Village. That job was for her company, Expera Puritanius, which was part of a larger company, Puritan Fashions. And let me tell you, no Puritans would have worn her clothing during that first Thanksgiving dinner. She was designing and selling ties and pants and dresses that contained built-in, electrically charged, translucent panels.
I'd gone back to close up my apartment, and I connected up with a friend of Brandon and mine named Diana Dew, who had invented electric clothing for the disco era. This brilliant, beautiful woman, there's a picture of her in one of her dresses
right.
in my book. She invented dresses that were, she made dresses that were strips of translucent plastic that would hold a light charge. Okay, and glow with a light charge, and you could control the blinking of these strips in the dress or the tie or the belt or the vest to coincide with the rhythm of the music on the dance floor. And in the terms of the dress, you could also make it go around in a circle. So there were these incredible blinking electric dresses that she invited and she, invented. And she and I were, well, we had an affair, and I was living with her and her girlfriend. Oh, those were the days in the East Village. Oh, my God, what a lucky man I am.
Miss Betty, Miss Betty, that's the Arch of Tiberius.
We must be outside of Rochester.
Well, wait a minute now. We've been traveling for 20 days,
And we're only just outside of Rochester? Well, all roads lead to Rochester.
Great, see the ghost, Miss Benny.
Don't say that, please.
Did that slave say Benny? Who's got the Bennies?
Before I completely gave up on living in Manhattan, I worked as her publicist, and frankly, I wasn't put on Earth to promote other people. I'm a performer, and I was meant to promote me, me, me. I tried to do my best for Diana, but I don't think I helped very much. The wild artist Salvador Dali eventually bought all of her remaining clothing line.
2 weeks later, I was in Spain, meeting with the master.
Hola, bluff!
Hello, Dolly.
I didn't recognize you without your no cigar.
Salvador, I want to commission a work.
Bueno, what do you want? Ants in tangerines?
No.
Soft crutches?
No.
Yo lo sé. I've got an especial on women with drawers for breasts.
No. I was thinking something more universal.
¿Cómo qué?
Flying toasters.
Ah, that's a surreal.
We lived in Diana's apartment with another girl, walking distance from Max's Kansas City, the happening spot at the time. Eventually, our affair ran its course.
Norveticus ratus, Norveticus asses, mammalia, protentia meridae. Here we are, that's black and brown. It's electricity.
And just as we sat down to discuss our parting, her phone rang. It was Peter Bergman, and he told me that there was a ticket waiting for me at CBS. I was to fly back to L.A. as soon as possible to begin work on our first Firesign record for Columbia, Waiting for the Electrician, or someone like him.
Look, we live and operate under the due process of law. The innocent have nothing to fear. Only the guilty will suffer.
Lynch him!
Anybody got any lynch?
He even looks like the kid.
Look, it's this simple. I'll get a hearing and a trial.
Well, now we come to the chef d'oeuvre of Electrician, the title piece, Waiting for the Electrician or Someone Like Him. Let me get into the genesis of that title. That was something that I brought to the Firesign Theater. That was a title that was developed on the rooftop of an apartment in Amsterdam in 1965. I had written a small film script, very, very full of concept and very dull. Shows what happens when you do that, about a movie. I was doing movies at the time, about a movie that was done entirely in a dark room to the light of matches that were being lit, and characters talked, and you could only see their faces by matchlight. Just a terrible, an idea, you know, just a wonderful idea, a terrible movie. And I called it Waiting for the Electrician. The best thing about it was the title. And I was up there getting stoned on the roof of this apartment building, and Dickie Pollard, who was a friend of mine, who said, I said, I've got this thing called Waiting for the Electrician. He turned and said to me, or someone like him. So I brought this title, Waiting for the Electrician or Someone Like Him, back to the Firesign Theater, and that's what we decided. We decided to write a piece with that name. Okay? And of course, if you listen to the piece, there's nothing specifically about electricians or waiting or something like them. Again, the Firesign Theater said, that's a great title, that's a great button, we're going to sew this code on it. And it's going to be what I consider to be the one of the most remarkable breakthroughs in audio theater. David, you really are an expert on audio theater. There's only a few of you, and you, I think you would agree that there is nothing before 1968 that really presages Waiting for the Electrician or Someone Like Him. There are other audio pieces that have been just as surrealistic. As I mentioned, the Dadas and the Pataphysicians and all of the surrealists did audio pieces, whether not usually recorded audio pieces, but stage pieces. And whereas they were filled with concept and idea, they weren't dedicated to popular entertainment. They weren't that entertaining. And I remember Grail Marcus's book, Lipstick Traces, talks about that period. And I read all of these things that were going on, and they seem full of content and not very funny. Ironic and savage and, you know, and revolutionary. But watch out when you start thinking about yourself as being a revolutionary instead of being a comedian. We, the Firesign Theater, were dedicated to popular comedy. We all came out of vaudeville one way or the other. And Waiting for the Electrician, as complicated as it is, as surreal as it is funny. And I think about what it was like when the audience heard that for the first time. What a a nosegay this was for well-educated people who wanted to laugh, because the base of the material that we used was intellectual, was college boy stuff.
Diana eventually reinvented herself as Daisy Duck.
Daisy. Daisy. Give me your answer, do. I'm half crazy. All for the love of you. It won't be a stylish marriage. I can't afford a carriage. But you look sweet. Of the sheep. Of a bunch of
duck and cover. The San Francisco treat.
And married a brilliant guitarist and one of the writers of Southern Cross for Crosby, Stills, and Nash named Ricky Curtis, one of my childhood neighbors in Goshen. Go figure.
Too loose change is the problem. No change in your pocket because values have changed. You shouldn't be surprised. The ancient geeks ate their servants. We throw away light bulbs. In fact, practically speaking, you're not paying any more. You're getting less. Don't you remember? What was 5 is 2. What was 2 is 1. What was 1 is nothing. Now I'm going to repeat that again for those of you on drugs. What was 5?
Brandon DeWilda wound up living in Benedict Canyon on a street not far from where I live today. He had a house on West Wanda with a turret and semi-detached guest quarters where I sometimes bedded down for the night.
The Avengers! Steve are USA through the turret bay. Your anti-crisis car will hold them off.
When I learned to drive, I figured I should get something that was solid in case I was in a wreck. So, even though I was no soccer mom, I bought a big, used, clunky station wagon. Once, I drove over to Brandon's place, parked, and headed for the main house when I heard something strange. Uh-oh. I had not turned the wheels of the station wagon toward the curb, and this tank of a car was rolling down the hill with me scampering after it. It hit a support beam of Brandon's carport, which collapsed. But luckily, Brandon had insurance, and as he was usually stoned, he took it in stride. Brandon loved to smoke his friends under the table, as it were, while I always liked to get to a certain happy high and then coast. Eventually, it became too exhausting to hang with him, and we drifted apart. One day, however, I spotted him in his classic VW bus near Laurel Canyon on Fountain, and we pulled over to talk. We shared a joint in his van, and he told me he'd been busted for cocaine.
Things go better with loco, coco. Things go better with coke.
But that the cop recognized him as the little boy in Shane and let him off with a warning.
Yeah, they used to eat these things, officer, when I was a little kid. Sure. We don't do anything with the leaves. We burn them.
They
in
burn
fact,
the
that's
leaves.
How little we think of them.
We make books of them, and then we burn them. You burn whole books of them at
you
one time.
You can make books on the burnings.
Yeah, you're right. You can get 5 to 1, 6 to 1. You can get 10 to life if you're not careful.
But you can get really stoned, too.
And badly burned, man.
Yeah, really, man. Some of it's sugared.
Oh,
yeah,
it sure is, baby. Some of it is so sweet, I put it in my coffee, and that's how we use it. So
yeah.
Smoke it. Oh, that's for the crazy white guys like Sir Walter Raleigh, you know, man. We turned him out before he went back to England, you know?
Yeah?
Yeah, he went back, they got his head chopped off, man. Bump
we
trip.
Also turned him over. He used to stand on his head.
He did?
Because he thought he was in China.
That's right.
Thought he'd get along with everybody. What's weird, man? You ever seen a guy with eyes in his feet?
Yeah, sure I have. Just like a potato, right?
Sure.
A spud upside down is in America,
that's what
right?
we used to call him, Spud.
Spud Raleigh.
Yeah,
sure,
Spud
man.
Raleigh.
I remember Spud Raleigh.
I was in gym class with him.
Yeah, Jim?
Yeah, man.
Everybody else in my class is named Jim, too. You must have gone to the same school.
Yeah, what? Did you go to gym high school?
Yeah, sure did. That's why
that
I had gym class.
High school.
Hi, Jim. What's your name, by the
Jim,
way?
Jim, how
your
you doing,
Jim?
Man?
Well,
right
fine.
On,
give me
brother.
Six. Right on, right off, man.
Right.